Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Clive Urquhart.
Brilliant. How many of you love Jesus?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Jesus is alive in the north of England.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Jesus is the power of God. Jesus is the power of God. Anybody else believe that this morning? We want to be quite interactive today, okay? In terms of just making sure you're alive and you're responding and you believe, you know, what the Bible says. The revelation that you have of who God is will determine how you live your life. It will determine how you think. It will determine how you behave. It will determine how you treat others. It will determine how confident you are in before God, in your relationship with God. But it will determine how confident you are just as a believer. Because the more revelation, the more understanding of who Jesus is in you, the more free you will live from yourself. And you won't live in the inhibitions, or you can't say, well, that's not my kind of personality. I'm not that kind of character. When you become a Christian, what happens is your personality and your character is then submitted to the character and the nature or the personality of who Christ is in you. And then he expresses his life in you and through you. So we want to have a look at this morning at Jesus, the power of God. Is that all right? Brilliant. Just want to start by giving a little bit of a context. Then we're going to look at four ways. These aren't the only, but four ways that Jesus' power is manifested. One is going to be over all creation. Two is going to be he is the power to forgive. Three, he's the power to give life. And four, he's the power to heal. We're going to do all of that in 5 minutes. You ready? Now we're going to do that this morning. Okay, let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 onwards. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he's saying, for the message of the cross is foolishness, it's ridiculous to those who are perishing, to those who don't know Jesus. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That he says those who are being saved, because you have been saved when you've given your life to him. But salvation is you continue to be saved, which means you live in the good of the salvation that you've been given. The life of God that you've been given, you then live in the good of it. And one day we will be saved when we go to be with God forever. We'll come into the fullness of who he is forever and ever, even though you have the fullness now. But it seems to take the whole of our lives to live out and discover what we've really been given the day that we actually became a Christian here. It seems to take the rest of our lives to unpack and discover how to live in the fullness of what we already have. So we're not reaching out for something we don't have. We're just seeking to live in the fullness of who Jesus is already in us. Is that okay? Just turn to your neighbour and say, are you awake this morning? Are you alive? Just nudge them. Make sure they stay awake, okay? But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, did not know God or Jesus, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. So what's Paul saying? The gospel sounds absolutely ridiculous, you know, but yet it is the power of God to totally transform somebody's life. Then it says in verse 23, Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Paul describes Jesus in two ways here. He's the power of God and he's the wisdom of God. Now, he's talking into a culture, into a context where there were Jews and Gentiles. And the Jews, when you read through the Gospels, they were always looking for a sign. Come on, do a miraculous sign to prove that you're the Messiah. Come on, give us another sign. Give us another sign. They were always looking for the miraculous. The Greeks are all head cases. They reasoned everything. They wanted to know why. What's the reason? Prove it. Let's get our heads around this. If you can prove this, then I might believe it. If you convince me enough. And the challenge to both the Jews and the Greeks was, do you believe? Not give me a sign so that then I believe, or can you reason with me enough to get me to the point of belief? So Jesus is saying, no matter how many miraculous signs you have, or no matter how much reasoning you might have, the fact that Jesus is the power of God for salvation has got to be a revelation. It's got to be something you realize and you believe, actually, whether I see that or not, or whether somebody reasons with me, to respond to the gospel is foolishness to those that don't know, because they're like, well, you've got to convince me or you've got to show me.
Yeah, that's good.
But there comes a point where you've got to take a step of faith and you have to believe, is Jesus who the Bible says he is? Is he the Son of God? Is he the power of God to save lives, to bring people out of not having a relationship with God, to bring them into a relationship with God? Let's just carry on for a few moments, okay? Now, we don't just want one or the other, because Paul is saying the power of God, or Jesus is the power and the wisdom. Let's have a look in Isaiah 9, verse 6. It describes Jesus as the wonderful counselor, wisdom, but also mighty God. So he's saying he is the wisdom and the power. In Isaiah 28, verse 29, it talks about Jesus being the wonderful counsel, but excellent in working. So he's wisdom, but he's power. Jeremiah 32, verse 19 says that God is great in counsel, great in wisdom, but mighty in work. 1 Corinthians, as we just read, says he's the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, if you have power but no wisdom, you're dangerous in a bad way. You know, autocratic leaders, a lot of power, not a lot of wisdom, cause a lot of damage. But you can have a lot of wisdom, but if you have no power, there's no outlet for that wisdom. So you can have all the wisdom in the world, but if you're not in a position where you can influence something, or there's no power, there's nothing to for that wisdom to be released into. And so power and wisdom go hand in hand. So Jesus is the power of God, and he is the wisdom of God. So the power and the wisdom are not something, they are somebody. So we want to know the person who is the power of God, and we want to know the person who is the wisdom of God. Why are we looking at this morning? Because God wants to work his power through your life and my life as believers. Paul said again a couple of chapters later that the gospel is not a matter of talk, but of power. So God wants us as the people of God, as the church, he wants us to be living and moving in the power of God.
Come on.
The gospel is not just talk. The Christian life is not just a load of words. It is the power of God expressed through people that have come to know him. I've been reading through some of the gospels, reading through some of the stories of what Jesus did. And at the end of the Gospel of John, it says that if everything was written down that Jesus ever said or did, there probably wouldn't be enough room in the world for all the books that were written. Wow. So in 3.5 years, what did he do in 3.5 years? The amount of stuff that must have been happening, the amount of not just talking, but the power of God that was released through his life, and the amount of stuff that was taking place, there's not enough room in the world for all the books that would be written. Wow, how many? We've just got a snippet in here of a few things that Jesus did here and there during 3.5 years. But how much was going on every day through one man? But yet Jesus said, you can do the same things as I have and greater things still. He says, I've got to go and be with the Father and leave you the Holy Spirit, give you the promise so that you can do the same things as I have and greater things still. What's Jesus saying? I want to multiply who I am through many believers, so that many other things can happen. So Jesus came as the Savior to establish salvation for mankind, but then he gives us a mandate, And he gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to then enable us to live in the way that he's called us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth.
Yeah, that's good.
So Jesus established what was possible, but then he says, nothing is impossible for those who believe. All things are possible with God. And so God baptizes you, me, with the Holy Spirit to enable us to see and do the same things as Jesus did, but greater things still. Wow, hang on a minute. That's why it's so important to have a revelation of who Jesus is in your life. Otherwise, you'll say, well, Jesus was this, I'm only this. Well, I'm just little me. And I know I've got the Holy Spirit, but surely I haven't got the same amount of the Holy Spirit as Jesus did. But yet God doesn't just give you a bit of the Holy Spirit. He gives you the Holy Spirit. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you receive power. Power to be a witness in Jerusalem, in your local area, in Judea, your nation, to Samaria, to other people groups, and to the ends of the world. So he's saying, I'm giving you my power to fulfill my purpose on the earth. Because he knows we can't do it in our own strength. But he's saying, on your own, you can't do it. So sometimes you feel weak. That's a great place to be. As a Christian, it's so opposite to the world. Because the world says, you've got to feel good. You've got to feel right. It's all got to be going for you. But yet the gospel and this kingdom life is God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. So actually, sometimes when you feel weak, that's the very moment that God is going to prove himself strong and do something through your life. Because you feel like, God, I don't feel powerful. I don't feel ready. I don't feel I've had enough meetings, enough conferences, enough anointing. I don't feel I've had enough of this, that, and the other. And God said, that's okay. If you feel weak, that's the best place to be. Because that's how my power can be released through your life. Anyway. Let's quickly go through these four things. Four ways in which God's power, or Jesus is the power of God being manifested. First of all, he's the power over all creation. Everything was created by Jesus. Let's have a look at John 1 verse 3. I'll probably leave you behind here in terms of the amount of scriptures I've got. So just jot them down if you've got a notepad and you can look at them later. John 1 verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So he is the creator. Everything in the universe is upheld by him and is subject to him. Colossians 1, 15 to 17. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. Doesn't matter what it is, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. What holds it together? His word. How do we know that? Hebrews 1 verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the truth. Everything that has been created, the universe, is being held together right now by the word of God. That is what enables the universe, the galaxies, Earth in the middle of the galaxy we're in. That's what's holding everything, suspending it, all holding it in place. It's God's word that is resounding around the universe right now. It's holding everything in place because he spoke it into being, and therefore it is there because he spoke it, and his word sustains all things. That's pretty awesome. Jesus is the word. He was the word made flesh in human form. And he came and he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he said, I've come to show you who the Father is. So he reveals the Father by the way he was. And we'll come to those three things in a moment. But Jesus said, I'm not going to stay on the earth. I've got to go and be with the Father. So what we're going to do is send you my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, so that you can become like little Christs on earth. You can be my ambassadors, my representatives. You can be our kingdom people on earth with the Holy Spirit to carry out what I want to do all over the world. That's amazing. That's awesome that God wants to, has not just brought us into relationship with Him so that we're forgiven and healed and set free, but He says, I've come into your life so you can join with me to see a massive transformation of tens of thousands and millions of other people all over the world. But I'm going to place you in Scarborough at this point in time in history, baptize you with the Holy Spirit, fill you with my life and power so that you live with a cause that's so much bigger than your own life, knowing that you live in for something eternal. And I've placed you here at this moment to see lives transformed, influence the town, the community, the region, wherever. And I've come upon you and I'm giving you myself to do that. But remember, I'm the power over all creation. If I'm sustaining all things by my powerful word, then what can my word do in you and through you? If everything's being held now by the word, and He is the word in you, He's put His spirit on the inside of you. Wow, what can happen when you speak in His name? Because what did Jesus do? I only speak the things the Father gives me to speak. Because when God said, let there be, it was. So Jesus knew if I speak what He gives me to speak, then something's going to happen. He says, I only do the things I see my Father doing. Because He knows if I only do those things, it's going to work. Wow. Jesus calmed the storm, didn't He? Why? Power over all creation. He knew who He was in God. Jesus was a man, a person, just like you and me. That's why He went up in the morning, prayed, because He said, God, I can't do anything. Father, I'm totally dependent on You. I can only say Your thing. I can only do Your thing. In and of myself, I'm a person. And so there was a total dependency on the Father. So when He stood in the boat in the storm and said, be still, it wasn't just God in a boat talking to creation. Yes, He was the Son of God, but He was also fully man. And in His manhood, He stood there, faith in God, saying, wait, storm, be still. He walked on the waters. He cursed a fig tree and it died. Things of creation. Jesus said, you can do the same things and greater things still. There's stories probably where you've been and I've been in where you've commanded the weather and at that moment something's happened. That sounds ridiculous in the natural, doesn't it? But yet, there's been times when that kind of thing's happened. Why? Because God's word has power over all creation. Let's have a look. Jesus is the power to forgive sin. So if He's the power over all creation, His purpose is He's created you and I to have a relationship with Him, then He knew that mankind was going to mess up, but He already had a plan. There's only one plan in God's kingdom. It's called Plan A. There is no Plan B. There's only one Plan A for every person on the planet. And when somebody gets saved, they come into Plan A of God for their life. People, you say, yeah, but people mess up. And they go, yeah, but there's not a Plan B. God will get you back on track to Plan A. That's His purpose. So Jesus is the power to forgive sins. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 2 for a minute. It says here, some men brought Him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Wow, He didn't even address the sickness. He said, your sins are forgiven. Let's have a look what it says. At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this guy is blaspheming, knowing their thoughts. Wow, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? It's a lot easier to say you're forgiven, because it's like, there's no evidence. It's like, oh, you're forgiven, mate. But to actually say, get up and walk, everybody's like, well, come on then, if this is going to work, we've got to see something. But what did Jesus say? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, then He said to the paralytic, get up, take your mat and go home. What was He saying? It takes more authority to forgive sins than it does to raise somebody up out of a mat. Because to heal somebody is not an eternal consequence. To save somebody is. See, to forgive sins says, I have the power over sin that can destroy your life and give you an eternity that separates you from God. So if you're forgiven from that lot and the power of sin has been broken over your life, then there's no sickness that can't be dealt with. That's kind of Jesus. So he's the power to forgive sins. Let's have a look. What does it say? This John chapter 8, woman who's caught in adultery, dragged out in front of the crowd. According to the law, she should be stoned because of what she was doing. Jesus said, any of you who've never sinned, you can cast the first stone. Gradually they all walked away because everybody had sinned. There's just the woman and Jesus left standing there. Who condemns you? He said to her. Nobody, sir. Then neither do I, he said. But go, leave your life of sin. See, Jesus, the power of God to forgive, full of mercy, full of compassion, is to forgive. But he doesn't just say, oh, I'll let you off, go and do your own thing. He says, I'm extending mercy right now. I'm not going to treat you as you deserve, but I'm going to show you mercy, compassion, forgiveness, but make sure you leave that life of sin. Turn away from it. But he's the power to forgive, to break off addictions, to break off things that hold people down, the things that separate them from God. He is the power to forgive. 1 John 1 verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, if we tell God what they are, these are all the things I've done wrong. It says he is faithful. He is faithful and just. And will forgive us our sins and purify, clean us up from all unrighteousness, everything that is not right, that is not like God. He forgives, he cleans us up and brings us into relationship with him. Why? Because he's the power over all creation. He is the power to forgive. If he's the creator, his purpose is to us to live in that relationship with him. So he has the power to forgive, but then what does he do? He doesn't just leave us there. He is the power then to give life, because he is life. So let's have a look. Power to give life. John 1 verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. So Jesus is the light. What does he do? When you don't know God, the Bible says you're living in darkness. But because he is the light, there's no darkness in him. So he forgives you of sin, which keeps you in the darkness. And he has the power to forgive. And he brings you out of that and brings you into light. Not just a little bit, but the fullness of who he is. Because he is the light of life. What does it say? John 14 verse 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he's declaring, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. There is no other life to know God. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the devil. But then Jesus said, but I have come that you may have life and life in all its. So his purpose is for you to have an abundant life, an overflowing life, a joyful life, a guilt-free life, a shame-free life. That what he's done is take you out of darkness, brought you into light, taken you out of shame and into acceptance, taken you out of guilt into forgiveness, into freedom. He's taken you out of despair into hope. He has done so much. He says, look who I am. Look what I've done for you. I want you to live in the good of that. Live in the power of it. Live in the revelation of it. Live in the cleanness of it. Live in the freedom of it. Live in the joy of it. Live in the power of it. Live in the good of it. Have I come to the right place today, mate? Yeah. Then it says in John 11, verse 25, I am, Jesus said, the resurrection and the life. Why? Because there's no death in God. There's only life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, even though he dies to himself. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So you die to yourself and what I want, how I want to live over here. He brings you into his eternal life here, and therefore you never die. That's good. Your physical body might one day, but your soul will go on forever with God. You'll have a new body in heaven. That's why the fear of death is broken over people's lives when they get born again, when they come to a relationship with God, because at that point, his eternal life comes on in you and you're going to live forever with God. So the death has lost its sting. It doesn't have a holding. There's nothing to fear about dying now because you're going to live forever anyway. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth when Jesus comes again, which is, if this one looks pretty good when you travel around and see some of the wonders of the world, what is the new heaven and the new earth going to look like? It's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
And we're going to be there. But he wants us to live fully now on earth in the way we're going to be living then. Because there's a job to do. There's loads of stuff that God wants to do to transform people's lives. John 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. He speaks, says, come out. And Lazarus came out, came alive. Why? Because Jesus is the power of life, or the power to give life. Luke 7, he raises a young man at his funeral. Phenomenal story when you read it in Luke 7. We haven't got time to go through it now. But Luke chapter 7, there's a funeral going on through the streets. And I don't know if he could tell because of the procession that the mother of the son that had died obviously didn't have a husband, because in that story it talks about he raised the son from the dead so that the son could look after the mother, because of the way it was in that culture then. And so Jesus interrupted a funeral.
That's right.
You know, this thing was going through the town. That's not right. This is not right. So let's change it, shall we? Right. And he speaks to the boy and boom, he comes alive. And it's like God saying, no, that's right now. That's good. Now you can look after your mum and fulfill what is right. See, Jesus has the power over death. Only God can raise the dead. Why? Because he is life. Let's have a look. The power to heal. Luke 5. We're rattling through this today. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. The power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. He cured the paralytics, restored the withered. He healed the sick and the wounded. Loads of stuff. But God doesn't want us to look at this as a storybook. The stories we tell ourselves, the stories we tell our children and all of that. No, he's like, okay, guys, this is a manual. This is like a manual for you. This is how I want you to live. This is what I've called you to. And all this is possible. Because I'm in you for this to be possible. I've given you my spirit. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. It doesn't matter what your character or personality is like in terms of, well, I'm not particularly outgoing. I'm not that confident. I'm not that. It's like when the Holy Spirit comes on you, there's a boldness, there's a confidence.
Come on.
Luke chapter 5. There's a leper that comes up to Jesus. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. What does Jesus do? He takes the if out of it. He reached out, touched the man and said, I am willing, be clean. You see, he's the power to heal. His heart is to heal. There's loads of stories going around at the moment. You've seen it yourselves. We are down where we are. When we were up in Hull, went Thursday night, Friday morning at Jared Cooper's conference. They sent a team out Friday lunch, someone to the streets, people getting healed, stuff happening. They had a couple of people come out of wheelchairs in the street yesterday in one of their outreaches and stuff. And why? Because God's heart is to heal. How many people did Jesus heal, but they didn't necessarily follow him? Don't know. Maybe quite a few. So let's not put conditions on things. Well, you know, unless you're going to follow Jesus, why should they be healed? God's mercy and compassion is he doesn't want people to live in suffering and pain in that way. So therefore, we're here like Jesus in Acts 10, verse 38. Peter described Jesus as a man who was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, who went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The word, those words there, he went around doing good, that wasn't cutting people's grass. It wasn't trimming their hedges and painting their front doors. When he went around doing good, when you unpack what the actual Greek says about that, it's he went round healing the sick, sorting stuff out like that. It was moving in the power of God. Lots of Christians use that one as he went round doing good. That means what we do in our outreach is just social action, cut grass, and we'll just get people saved by loving them, by showing them that. That is not going to get people saved. It might have an effect on them. They might open up, you know, they might be, oh, I didn't know Christians were like that. I didn't know you cut grass and all that. But yet, somebody's only going to get saved when they hear the gospel. And somebody's got to share their testimony. Tell them the stories we heard at this 13, you know, the power of your story. But also sharing the gospel. Who Jesus is, what has he done? Because he's the power to forgive. The power to give, to forgive. He's the power to give life, and he's the power to heal, to restore, to make whole. Luke 18, last story. What do you want me to do for you? Blind guy came to Jesus. Now, we might say, Jesus, that's a bit of a funny question, isn't it? Because the guy's blind. But Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He wanted to hear from the guy. What do you want? What is it that you want? What you're expecting? What you're believing or whatever? The guy said, I want to see. And Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. You know, as we go, we don't just want to look and say, well, that's what they need, because there might be something different going on there. But Jesus did say, what do you want me to do for you? Look at the heart of God in that. What do you want me to do for you? I think we've got to be careful as Christians, especially if we've been Christians for a while, that we have our own little, without realising it, chart. You know, have I been good enough with God for him to bless me? You know, or have I been doing all right for God to work through me and use me? You know, how am I doing on my scale today of expectation and everything? Now, I'm not saying if you're living, doing your own thing, then that doesn't matter. I'm not saying that. But sometimes we filter some of these kind of things that we hear. Because the word, what it does, it bursts all our excuses or reasons or, hang on a minute, God, surely it can't be that straightforward. Why not? Well, my experience says that, yeah, but maybe because we've lived our experience in a different way than God has said to live, then our experience doesn't tell as many stories as it could do, because we've been waiting for something, or we're not quite sure, or I don't think God wants to use me. But yet, Jesus is saying, it's not about you, it's about me in you. If you understand this phrase here, how do you get better at something? By doing it. So in one sense, how do you get more used to seeing God at work? By having a go. And I think, you know, that we just need to have a go a bit more. As Christians in our lives, everyday life. Whether it's an outreach that's happening to on the night or reaching people on the street. Whether it's just in your life, your work world, your whatever. Have a go. And just begin to step out, and it's like, come on, Jesus. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about eagerly desire spiritual gifts, doesn't it? Yeah. Especially the gift of prophecy. But it says eagerly desire. What does it mean? Not just to have them, but to operate in them. And one of those things is gifts of healings. And it's like eagerly desire to the gifts of the Spirit. Eagerly desire for me to work in you, through you. Eagerly desire the power of God to work. Why? Because the gospel is not just talk, but it is power. Are you ready? Let's stand together. We've got three W's down in Horsham or across our congregations at the moment going on. Three W's: worship, word and wonders. We can't have any meeting without some wonders in them. You know, and we want to give space for that to take place. But we're also trying to activate people to step out beyond where they've been before. Understanding that Jesus, if he's the power over all creation, if everything is being sustained by his powerful word right now, he's holding all things together. And he is the word in you, and the Holy Spirit is in you to reveal more of Jesus, but also to enable you to live in the way that Jesus has. If you know that he is the power then to forgive, he's won the victory over all of that lot. And therefore, he's also the power to give life, because he is life. And if he is life, he's also the power to heal, because he's overcome all of that stuff here and there, amen, or there, amen, and brought us to here. You might not feel powerful. That's okay. You don't have to feel powerful. But out of your revelation of Jesus, you'll live. you'll speak, you'll act. Now, we know that Jesus is the power of God, but yet he wants to give a fresh revelation to you that he is the power of God, not just somewhere, but in me. He is the power of God. He has anointed you to be merciful, to be compassionate, to be gracious. He has anointed you to be bold, to be confident. He has anointed you to lay hands on the sick so they recover. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Well, I haven't got a gift of healing. That's not what the gifts of the Spirit say. You don't need a gift of healing, and that's not what it means. What the gifts of the Spirit are about is that we use them, we operate in them, and everybody in the room can heal the sick, because the Bible says believers in the room, believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to get the victory over all of the power of sin, sickness, death, hell, the enemy. We thank you that Jesus, you are the power of life. And I thank you that you are the power of God in us right now this morning. I thank you that you have won the victory over every sickness, over every stronghold, over every addiction, over everything that could affect our lives. You've won the victory over every one of those things. And I thank you that you give us your power, your Holy Spirit, to enable us to live in victory over all of that stuff ourselves, because it's your life in us that enables us to live in victory. So, Father, I thank you that the anointing of your Holy Spirit is on us at this moment right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, God can do a lot in a few minutes. I know we did some of this at this conference in the last session, but God can do a lot in a few minutes, okay? We've got 5 minutes, and God's going to do a lot in 5 minutes. The other week in our two of the meetings we had over 40 people healed. In one meeting, there were 25 or 26 people healed in about 4 minutes. Who actually put their hands up and said, the symptoms have gone. Because I said, only put your hands up if you know the symptoms you've had in your body are gone. Not, this isn't a by faith stick your hand up. This is I know it's changed. And then the next service, 16 people put their hands up and said, the symptoms have gone. And all that happened in a few minutes, few moments. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Why? Because you have the power of God in you right now. And there's infirmities that would like to reside, sicknesses that would like to stay in different people's bodies because it's found a little niche and it enjoys being there. But God doesn't want it there. You don't want it there. I don't want it there. The Holy Spirit certainly doesn't want it there. And so God wants to release stuff through you right now. So just quickly get into groups of four, okay? And just check out with anybody else in your group, okay? Does anybody got any sickness, infirmities, stuff that's going on, diagnosis that you've been given? And let's deal with them right now. When you pray for somebody, don't pray for them. Just take authority over the sickness. Don't pray long prayers. Keep it really simple like Jesus. When he said, receive your sight. That was it. He said, be clean. That was it. Be whole. That was it. So he didn't say a lot because he used that authority. He commanded with the word. And if the word is sustaining all things, then what can it do now to a little sickness? Deal with it, destroy it, and get it out of somebody's body. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So just quickly go around your groups. Ask if anybody needs any healing. And then one of you, lay hands on their head and just command that sickness to go in the name of Jesus. And then ask them how they're doing. All right, let's go. Remember, not long prayers, just commands, okay? Just command the sickness. We're not praying for somebody. We're dealing with sickness. So command the sickness to leave, whatever it is, aches, pains, lumps. Thank you, Jesus. We take authority over every sickness in this room right now. We command it to leave people's bodies. Aches and pains go. Father, I thank you for creative miracles in here right now. Thank you for back pains being healed, muscle disorders being healed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You might not feel powerful. That's all right. God is powerful. And he can work his power through you right now. Just in his name. Just command sickness to go. Then ask them how they're doing. If it's something they can check, that the pain's gone, the lumps are gone down, or their muscles are easier, their joints are free, whatever it might be. Their hearing's better, their eyesight's better, whatever it is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Father. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. As he's doing stuff, just give him thanks for what he's doing. If you know things are happening in your body, it can be physical, mental, emotional. You might have been going through some emotional turbulence. We'll get somebody to pray for you. And God can heal emotions, scars, wounds. If you know there's any mental issues, then just take authority over those. For a sound mind. You know, if your brain hasn't been working properly, things like dyslexia, dyspraxia, that kind of thing, take authority over it. God can do all the right connections, electrical connections in your brain to rewire things. He created your body. He knows how it works. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You're the power to heal right now. Thank you. You're the power to heal right now. Thank you for your healing grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, you are good. You are wonderful. Thank you, you are powerful. Thank you, you're the healer. Thank you, you're the healer right now. Thank you in our bodies, in our lives. Your healing grace right now. Your healing grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How you doing? Things happening out there?
Yeah.
If you know something's been happening, just raise your hand. If you know God's been doing something in your body, just raise your hands. Let's have a look, see what God's been doing. Thank you, Jesus. What about over here? Things happening? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing, mate? All right. Thank you, Jesus.
Hello.
Thank you, Jesus. What's been happening here then?
I just put my best of my back and completely pain free now.
Right, brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. Back pain totally gone over here, totally free. Right. So were you having issues with down your right side? Was that restricting your movement or what was it?
Yeah, I had a bad night's sleep and then when I got up it was painful this morning. And then I got pins and needles in my leg.
Okay. So you're free from pain down the right hand side. Brilliant. Great. Excellent. Who else knows something's happening in their body? One of you guys over here? Yeah. Right, so that tinnitus, that's miles better now. Okay, brilliant. Thank you, Jesus. You can go and pray for him if you want. Do a complete job. What's happening here, you guys? Yeah. Okay, cool.
Similar.
Similar, you...
Any
Okay. So pain's gone in the right hand side. Great. Brilliant. Other people, who else, if you know God's done something, but yeah. So the pain that you had there, that's gone. Okay, brilliant. Other people? Yeah. Yeah. Well, the pain's gone, yeah? Brilliant. Thank you, Jesus. Great. Amen. Other people, you know God's been doing something. Just raise your hand. You know something's different in your body. Who else? Other people? Yeah. Right, she had pain in your knee. That's gone. So did you have restriction in the movement of it? Right, how's it going now? There's no pain there, though. Great. Great. Thank you, Jesus. Brilliant. Anybody else? You know something's been happening in your body. There might be one or two more internal things you might need to get checked out, depending on what they are. But other things, you know, any other stories, testimonies? There are a few people healed yesterday, weren't there, in the afternoon? Father, we thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you love to work in our lives. Father, I thank you that as we go in your name, then we see things happen in your name. So, Father, I thank you just for the spirit of faith to come upon the church here in an even greater way as they move out to see you affect more and more lives in Scarborough and the region. Father, I thank you for opportunities this week that are going to come our way. Because, yes. Father, we know when you speak about something, it's because you want to do more than we've been seeing. Yes. And so, Father, I thank you there's going to be opportunities this week to move in your power to see things happen. Yes, and thank you that you watch over your word to make sure that it accomplishes everything it was sent to do. So, Father, I thank you you're watching over our lives so that as we live this week, you're going to watch over situations and say, hey, here's an opportunity for the word that you heard on Sunday to be activated right now in this situation. Father, I thank you for the boldness, the confidence just to step out and to do it and to have a go and to see what you want to do that's going to touch lives, whether physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever it might be. We thank you, Jesus, before it even happens this week for what is going to happen. Amen. We praise your awesome name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.